Amen. Well, good morning. Everybody doing okay this morning? I was telling Tony and Mandy this morning, I said, man, we're trying to bring better weather with us when we come, but something's happened. And the weird thing is that we're not coming from the north, we're coming from the south. So go figure. I mean, it just one of those things that happens. But man, what a great day. What a great day to be alive. Thank you so much for having us back. We're praying for Pastor Josh and Jenna, that they continue to be refreshed and that you guys continue to pray for them. I believe that this is a very important season for them and for you guys, for the church as a whole. And that's why I think we're going back to visiting the foundations and some of the things that are really, really important. Of course, we know that Jesus is the only foundation. Even Paul was preaching when he was saying, listen, I laid a foundation, but he's the foundation. But he says, so be careful how you build on that foundation, which is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And last week we talked about making sure that we had a proper concept, a healthy concept of God, as we talked about the question, how do you see God? And I'm just reminding you that how we see God and how we perceive God, our concept of God, is impacted and affected by our previous history, by our previous church and religious experiences, by our parents sometimes. And so to have a healthy concept of God, we said we've got to go to His Word and understand and get to know who He really is, and we've got to be born again. You know, the natural mind cannot comprehend spiritual things. So only when we are born again of the Spirit will our spirit be able to help us understand those things that seem to be upside down. You know, we serve a kingdom that is totally contrary to some of the principles of the world. Amen? And so in order for us to understand God and His Word and His ways, then we have to, first of all, be born again. If you're here or you're watching online and you've not surrendered your life to the Lordship of Christ Jesus, if you've not been born again in your spirit, maybe you have problems reading and understanding the Word. Could it possibly be it's because that your natural mind cannot comprehend spiritual things, and God wants to revive and renew and save our spirit man so that the Spirit of God can come and reveal us truth and lead us and guide us into and through all things. So we're glad. I'm glad some of you showed back up. I guess it wasn't so bad last week. I'm glad to have my wife Sandra with me again. Sandra, thank you for traveling with me. Can we just say, man, I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful for Sandra. She's amazing. I mean, we left and we're it kind of been a busy week. Y'all pray for us. Pray for me. I leave here. We're going to leave after church, and I've got to catch a flight tomorrow to Las Vegas. We minister at a church down there with their leaders and elders for the next Tuesday through Thursday, as they're going through some shifts and some transitions and changes. And so we're leaving from here, driving home in this beautiful weather, and then catching a plane to go to Las Vegas to go to a church there. Keep them in your prayers. Aguila Centro Cristiano Familiar. It's a thriving church in Las Vegas. Got about 4,000 people in the church, and they're reaching. I mean, what a great place to what a harvest field. I said, Pastor, you're going to Las Vegas? Absolutely, man. There's a bunch of lost people over there, so we're going to go help the church. And so we're grateful to be here with you guys. But I just want to encourage you in one thing. It's almost like sometimes we're waiting for God to do something, and God is waiting for us to step into and get our feet firm again so that we have a platform from which to be able to experience everything that God has for us in this season of our lives. So we talked about the concept of God, our concept of God, how we see God. Today in part two, I want to talk about the Word. I want to talk about the Word of God. I'm going to approach this in maybe a little bit different way, but I'm excited about what God is put in my spirit for us. And if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, it's actually 1 through 10, but I'm just going to read 1 through 4. It says, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. In other words, and sometimes people say, Pastor, what Bible do you read? If I'm going to get in the Word, what Bible do you read? Well, read one that's easy for you to read that you will read. Because if you have a Bible that you can't read, then you may as well not have a Bible. So I study a lot. I've studied a lot from the New King James Version. That's my go-to. But I also look at, because it's more of a literal word-for-word, you know, translation. But I also read out of the New Living Translation, which is a thought-for-thought. And sometimes I used to read the old King James, and man, when I first got saved, and that was quite a challenge for me. And so the New King James is a good translation. The New Living Translation is more of a thought-for-thought, and it helps us. And sometimes I just like the language because it helps us understand a little bit more. And so let me read out of the New Living Translation this morning, this part of the scripture in Matthew 4. It says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and he became very hungry. And during that time the devil came and said to him, 'If you are,'" he's always questioning our identity. If he questioned Jesus' identity, he's going to question your identity and my identity. He says, "If you are the Son of God, then tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, "No. The scriptures say," and this is key, the New King James says, "It is written." When the enemy came to test and tempt Jesus, he went to what was written. He went to God's word. Amen. Everybody say the word. And that we've got to get back to the word if we're going to navigate the seasons, the next steps that God has for us. He says, "No, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness to us. I thank you for allowing us to be here on purpose, for a purpose. Those that are here, those that are watching online, God, we thank you, God, that you have something for us, beginning with me. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight today, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that we would come with open hearts to receive your word, what you have to say to us corporately, but also individually, Lord. We commit the rest of this service to you and let your presence continue to be in our midst as it was from the moment we stepped into this place. Be with Pastor Josh and Jenna as they rest and recover, Lord. Be with this church family, oh God. Let them know that they are loved and cared for by us and by you, Lord. And we just commit our time together today in Jesus' name to you. And all God's people said, amen. So the enemy came to test them, and he tested them. And I'm not going to read the verse all the way to 10, but in verse 7, he tested him in the area of his identity. First of all, he said, "If you are the Son of God." And then in another passage of scripture in verse 7 into 10, he says, "If you will kneel down and worship me," as he was showing him the kingdoms of the world. So he tested his loyalty. So I want you to know that in passage of scripture that Jesus was tested or tempted in his identity. Are you the Son of God? If you bow to me, I'll give you all this. That was his loyalty. He said, "Be loyal to me and I'll give you all this." He said, "No, I'm going to be loyal to my God, to the mission, the things that he has assigned to me." And then in the middle of all that, what was tested was God's word, because all three times Jesus replied to the accusations of the enemy by, "It is written." The New Living Translation says, "The scripture says." So anytime a contradiction came, something that was outside of God, that just didn't seem right or feel right, Jesus always responded with the word. He always responded with, "It is written." And so, you know, as I was getting ready to come and be with you guys again, I was reminded of just recently about God's goodness and God's faithfulness to me and my family and to us as a church community, and just all our lives. I look back and just am always grateful for all that God has done in our lives. I was also reminded, 24/7 church family, of a time, a season when Sandra and I went through a really, really rough time, and we actually were separated for 10 months in about our seventh year of marriage. Sandra had filed for divorce, and things were not good in the Hinojosa household, in the Hinojosa marriage. And it was mostly due to my rebellion and to my unwillingness to submit to God as a believer. I'm not talking about my BC days before I got saved. I'm talking about after I got saved and after I started going to church and after I went to Bible college, where I met my beautiful wife. And then after, there came a season where I was tempted and tested in the areas of my identity, my loyalty, and my knowledge of God's word. And just because we are saved and just because we are made a profession of faith and just because we come to church and go to life groups or whatever, the enemy will still come against us to tempt us and test us in our area of our identity, in the areas of our loyalty, whether we're going to be loyal to God and his ways and his word and his thoughts, or to the ways of the world, and to the knowledge of God's word and God's scripture. I was tested in these areas and I failed miserably. I failed miserably in my identity, knowing who I really was, and you know, who I really am is defined in the scriptures, but we have to get into the scriptures and look at it. And my loyalty was divided, and I was in a season of my life as a believer 7 years into our marriage. Before that, 5 years, because it was about year four where I started going sideways. And when I mean sideways, I mean like real sideways, like driving the wrong side of the road. And during this difficult time as a believer, and I want to make note of that, during this difficult time of our lives as Christians, as believers, I ended up in a hospital in Houston, Texas for my drug and alcohol addiction. I think I mentioned a little bit about that last week, and I just felt like I needed to add a little bit to that. And see, because I ended up in a place as a believer that God had not prepared for me, and I ended up in the place because, and I want you to catch this, church had become an option for me. Reading God's word had become optional to me. And we're living in a church culture where church and God's word is optional. If I don't have something else to do, I'll go to church. If it's not too cold, I'll go to church. Thank you for coming to church this morning. And those of you that are watching online, thank you for watching online. If I have time, I'll read God's word. It's optional. And I'm talking about 35 years ago, as a believer, church and God's word had become optional to me. And so I got away from the foundations of God's truth about what he said about who he was and about what his word says about who I am. And it was during those 30 days in the hospital. See, I thought I was going to go and to Houston and sober up and get my head right and get, you know, to get turned loose in a couple of days. I didn't know that the place that they had sent me to through one of the churches, our church in Laredo, that Sandra went to on a regular basis and was faithful. Thank you for being faithful, even when I wasn't. And they had a plan for me, and I thought they're going to put me in the hospital for 2 days. And when I walked in those rooms, they closed the door, and it was cling. I didn't know that there was a key in there. I was stuck for 31 days. Boy, was I some kind of hot. I was mad. I did not want to be there. I thought, this is the last place I want to be, but it's exactly where I needed to be so God could take me back to some foundational truths that I needed to reestablish in my life so that I could continue moving forward and fulfill God's purpose and destiny for me, for my wife, for my family. Amen? And it was during those 30 days that I was given through this program the principles and the truths from the Word of God on a daily basis in the morning, after lunch, at night. They kept feeding us the Word, dealing with some other emotional stuff because we're spirit, soul, and body. But I was fed the Word on a regular basis for those 31 days. And the Word of God began to do a work in my life. It began to bring healing to me. It began to bring freedom to me. It began a work of restoration in my life. It began to give me again a proper concept of God and what His Word says about Him, and a proper concept about who I was as a son and a child of God. And to make a long story short, it was during that time where the Word of God, it picked me up and it restored my soul. It gave me life. It rescued my life and it rescued my marriage. And Sandra and I survived that difficult season of my life, of our lives, when the enemy came to rob, steal, and destroy, to kill, steal, and destroy our marriage, our family, God's purpose for our life. And he came and he restored us. The Spirit of God came and he made God's word alive, and his word began to do a work in me that nothing else had been able to do. I want you to know that when I failed the test of my identity and my loyalty, it was the Word. Everybody say the Word. It was the Word of God that kept me and fed me and renewed me and strengthened me and gave me a breakthrough, gave me a healthy biblical concept of my faith in Christianity and God. I discovered my true identity as a son of God. I found and had a newfound desire to worship God and to get in His Word. Listen, if you're here, if you're watching online, and church is optional, or and the Word is optional, and you don't desire God's Word, and you just, could it just possibly be that there is just a slow sliding away from the very things that we need to sustain us and keep us through every season in our life? Is it easy to worship God? I love to worship God. I mean, I don't worship God because I'm a pastor. I worship God because He's worthy to be worshiped. And I've not forgotten who He is and what He's done in my life. And it was during that season, as I began to read God's word, I submitted to God and I surrendered to him again. And I began to fight. I began to fight for my life. Listen, sometimes we quit and sometimes we give up. And we have no strength and we feel like there's no way out for us, for our children. What's going to happen? What's going on around us? Everything that's going, God has a solution and an answer and a principle and a truth for everything that's going on around us that's trying to steal, kill, and destroy God's plans and purposes for our lives, for our children, for our families, for our churches. And I began to fight. I had given up. I began to medicate and self-medicate myself because even though I knew God and I went to Bible college and we were going to church and serving when we first got started, there was just a slow drift and things began to become optional. And the more optional the church and the word God got, the further away I got from the Lord and the truth. And I didn't have a healthy concept of God. I began to go to my old concepts of God and I began to see myself not as God had seen me and saw me or as my pastor saw me, but I saw myself because of my behavior and the things that I was feeding myself with to try and deal with, well, if God is real, then why hasn't he answered my prayer? And if God's word says this, then why am I not having the outcomes that I have? And so the enemy comes to accuse God of his word and of his truth, and we lose our identity and we forget to fight. And Ephesians says that God has given us weapons to fight the good fight, to fight a war for. We are in a battle. We are in a battle for our lives, for our marriages, for our families, for our cities, for our nation. And we've got to, as believers and as churches, we've got to remind ourselves who God is. Listen, who is bigger than my God? Who is greater than our God? Who has truth outside from him? But because of everything that we hear, we kind of quit. We just kind of coast through life and we forget that we serve an almighty God, an all-powerful God who says with him, nothing is impossible. Well, we remember that when we get back in his word and in his presence. And so I began to fight for my life. I began to fight for my soul. I began to fight for my marriage and my family. And I took the word of God and I began to use it to help me and to heal me by the power of the Spirit and the power of his word. And I began to then fight for my marriage. I used to pray, God, if you'll just give me back my family, I'll do whatever you want to do, Lord. I'll serve you. I'll do whatever you want. I began to play, let's make a deal with God. Are you kidding me? None of you have ever done that. Maybe somebody watching online has done that. If you do this, I'll do that. And God says, man, I ain't one of your boys, Richard. I ain't playing, let's make a deal with you. I'm either God of your life or I'm not. Yes, sir. Now, I wish it was that quickly. It took me several weeks where I said, okay, Lord, no matter what, I'm yours. But there is a place of surrender. And listen, I use his word to resist and fight the lies and the accusations of the enemy. The word of God became a lamp to guide my feet and the light for my path. Listen to what David says in Psalm 119. It says, your word, everybody say word. It says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Your word is a lamp for today to guide me today and a light for where I'm going. His word is for today and his word is for the future. He says, I've promised it once and I'll promise it again. This is God speaking. I will obey your righteous regulations. David speaking to God. I will obey your righteous regulations. I have suffered much. And that was me when I read that. I said, man, I've walked that. He says, I've suffered much as a believer. Oh, Lord, restore my life again as you promised. Lord, accept my offering of praise and teach me your regulations. 109 says my life constantly hangs in the balance. We don't realize that our life constantly hangs in the balance. And he says, but I will not stop obeying your instructions. The wicked have set their traps for me, but I will not turn from your commandments. I will not turn from your word. Your laws are my treasure. They are my heart's delight. I am determined to keep your decrees to the very end. Are you determined to be in God's word? Are you determined to live by his principles? Are you determined to be led by the Spirit and not by your flesh, which is what his word tells us to do? David made a determination. Are you determined to trust God? Are you determined to submit yourself to his word and his principles? I want you to know today that God's word is true, that God's word is powerful, that God's word has all authority. I don't care what everybody else says. God always has the final say. Always. And you say, well, not so much, because sometimes I have the final say. Well, that's what got me in the hospital. That's what got me trying to figure out my challenges my way. God's word will help us defeat the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy our lives, our families, our marriages, our businesses, our churches, and our cities. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and spirit, between the joint and the marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." And I didn't want to get in God's word sometimes because it was exposing my innermost thoughts and desires that were contrary to God's word, and I still wanted to live life my way and not his way. I was looking for the Burger King church where you could have it your way. I know not this church and other churches and other cities and other places. I want you to know that his word is alive and it's powerful. I want you to discover it. I want you to explore it. I want you to dig deep into it. And the enemy's going to come to test it. He wants to challenge God's word. He wants to contradict it. That's why we must know it. That's why we must read it. That's why we must understand it. And that's why we must use it. So that when the enemy comes to test us and to tempt us, that we can take God's word just like Jesus did and say, "Nice try, devil, but not today. It is written. The scripture says." And so with that in mind, I want us to look at an Old Testament scripture. Everybody doing okay this morning? Amen. I know I kind of get to going and shuffling and screaming. I hate screaming preachers, that I be one of them. I can't help it. Jesus ruined me. He saved me and he rescued me and he picked me up and he restored my life again and again. And again, see, I was trying to be superhuman, and I couldn't. I wanted to get it all right, and when I couldn't get it all right, I felt like, well, I tried Christianity, it doesn't work. I tried God, and he didn't work for me. Well, you don't try God. We don't try Christianity. We surrender to him. And in the bad days, we run to him. But I wanted to get it all right. Anybody here is a perfectionist? Anybody want everything just right? And I'll never forget when God said, "Richard, you don't have to be superhuman, because if I wasn't superhuman, then I felt like I was subhuman because of the way I grew up and the way I lived my life. And I would see myself as a bad person that had done bad things." And so God says, you don't have to be superhuman. He says, "But you're not subhuman." He says, "Why don't you just give yourself permission to just be human? And in your humanity, when you cry out to me, my divinity will work through you and change you and help you and strengthen you." And so I had to get into God's word. And so I want us to look at a story in the Old Testament that of course, the word that was spoken then was a spoken word. We're talking about the written word. But I want us to connect this together through this story. Hopefully, it'll give you a picture. I love stories. So let's go there. We're going to be in Isaiah 33, 34, 35, 36, and 37. Somebody said we can go till 2 o'clock today, so we got plenty of time. I'm just kidding. We're not going to read all of it. I'm just going to refer to different. That's not come on time. We're going to be between Isaiah 33 and Isaiah 37. And I just want to give a little bit of context. This was a season when God's people were struggling. They were going through. It was a very difficult season. Times were harsh. Times were difficult. They were full of personal failure. They were experiencing personal failure and corporate failure. God, in the middle of this difficult, difficult season in their lives, God declares a word and God releases a word to them, okay? And I want to look at that. And then there was the enemy king, the king of Assyria, responded to the word of the Lord. People's responded to the king of Assyria's threats and so on. So I want to take you through this story because it's very, very important. So just follow with me. If you get lost, raise your hand like you do in school and we'll go back and we'll revisit something. But here we go. Y'all ready? Isaiah 33, starting in verse 10. It says, "But the Lord says," remember, they were in a difficult season. Times were rough. They weren't making progress. It was just very harsh. And he says, "Now I will stand up." Listen, Isaiah 33, verse 21 says, "The Lord will be our mighty one." This is what the prophet has declared as the Lord released him. "The Lord will be our mighty one. He will be like a wide river of protection that no enemy can cross, that no enemy ship can sail upon. For the Lord is our judge, for our lawgiver and our king, and he will care for us and he will save us. But 33:10 says the Lord, now I will stand up and now I will show my power and my might. God was getting ready to show up and do something in the middle of their harsh, difficult conditions. And then again in Isaiah 34:1, he says, come here and listen. Everybody say, listen. Somebody online type for me, listen. He says, listen, O nations of the earth, let the world and everything in it hear my words. He's talking about words, and we're talking about, and I'm looking at the New Testament saying, but his word, his living word we have in front of us. And he's saying, listen to my words, hear my words. In chapter 35, verses 3-4, it says, with this news, with his word, he says, strengthen those who have tired hands. His word is able to strengthen us when we're tired. Strengthen those who have tired hands and encourage those who have weak knees. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. God declares this in the middle of a great challenge to his people. He says, now. Everybody say, now. Yeah. See, we say that. We don't even believe it because we've been praying for things for so long. Not you guys, people watching online. Other churches, says God is getting ready to do something, but we don't believe it because we've been waiting so long. But God's not a liar, and God's not going to change his mind. We're waiting for God to do something. God's waiting for us to press into him and receive that no matter how long it takes. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you've been praying for. I don't know that maybe somebody came and gave you a prophetic word and prophesied over you and said now, and you say, man, that was 10 years ago. Well, some of the promises of God didn't happen the next day or that next evening during supper. There was a walking out and a waiting out. There was a place of persevering until the word of the Lord came to pass. And this is what we've lost. This is what I have lost, is that when things didn't happen my way, I didn't know how to wait and trust and persevere and feed myself with God's word until God did what he said he was going to do. Some of you need to persevere until God does what he said he was going to do. And the other thing, he's not going to do what I said I wanted him to do. He's going to do what he said he was going to do. Everybody still okay this morning? God declares his word to the people, says, now I will stand up. Now I will show my power and my strength. I will be your mighty one. I will protect you so that the enemy can't get you anymore. I will care for you. Man, I remember when he was speaking all that to me when I was in that place where I thought my life was over and I lost my job and I lost my wife and we had 2 children at the time. Gabe wasn't even born yet. And he said, I will protect you so that the enemy can't get you anymore. I will care for you and I will save you. Listen, this means something to me. I'm not just reading a history book. It speaks to what God does and who he is and how he's cared for me and how he continues to care for us this day and every day of our lives. He says, I will care for you and I will save you. So he says, come, listen, and hear my words. Come, listen, and hear my words. With this news, strengthen those who have tired hands. That was me. And encourage those who have weak knees. That was me. I couldn't stand. I couldn't make my way through my problems. I couldn't fight. And he goes on to say, be strong. Church, 24/7, be strong. Those of you watching online, be strong. Don't be afraid. I am coming to fight with you. I will destroy your enemies. I am coming to save you. Wow, what a word. What a word to receive from the Lord. It's almost too good to be true. That's why we don't believe it. God's word gave them hope in this story. God's word gave them strength and freedom from fear and the courage to stand and fight again. God is able to do what he says in his word that he can do. He did it then and he'll do it again. He'll do it now. So the people got excited when the word of the Lord came to them. How many times have you read a scripture and you get, oh my gosh, yes. And God's peace that surpasses understanding will, oh yes, oh, and be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication, make your request be made. Oh yes, that's what I'm going to do. And you're reading the word and you remember, you feel great, and then you step out and something happens and it's just gone. Maybe I'm just telling myself. But he says, listen, I want you to know that the people got excited. They got fired up. They were ready to go forward. They were ready to take the next step. But then something happened. Just like Jesus was tested and tempted by the enemy, the king of Assyria, came to challenge God's word. The enemy came and he mocked his word, and he'll come and he mock it. So let's go back. Let's go back at the story here, because God was telling them, and as they were moving forward, as they began to move forward, this is the word, this is the contradiction that came from the Assyrian king, the enemies of the Lord. He says in chapter 36, verse 4 says, then the Assyrian king's chief of staff told him to give this message to Hezekiah. Go tell the man of God, this is what I have to say. I know what he's saying, the Lord is saying, but let me tell you what I'm saying. Let me tell you what culture is saying. Let me tell you what Washington is saying. He says, then the Assyrian king, I'm in verse 4 of chapter 36 of Isaiah, the Assyrian king's chief of staff told him to give this message to Hezekiah. This is what the great king of Assyria says. You know what, the enemy always puffs himself up and makes himself look bigger than he really is. He says, listen to the question here. What are you trusting in that makes you so confident? What are you trusting in that makes you so confident as a believer? And listen to this. This is key. Do you think that mere words, if I had a subtitle to this message, it would be the word of God and the enemy's contradiction is that they're mere words. Do you think that mere words can substitute for my military skill and strength? Against this government, against this great whatever, whatever, whatever? Who are you counting on that you have rebelled against me? Who are you counting on that you're not living like the rest of the world and you're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And you're in the kingdom of God and the kingdom of light and not the kingdom of darkness. Who are you counting on that you have rebelled against me? So there's two questions and one accusation. What are you trusting in that makes you so confident? And who are you counting on that makes you resist me? And then it's kind of like he's saying, man, who do you think you are? And here's the accusation. Do you think that mere words can help you? The enemy calls God's words mere words. The ungodly, the people that have set themselves against God, when you start to talk to them about God and Jesus and the things of God and his word, they say, do you really think that book, that they're just mere words? It's a history book. It's what they're telling our young people. They're just historical facts like any other book. They're just words like any other words. They're just mere words. That word mere, the one translation says they're vain words. The New King James says vain words. Would you give me that little water, baby, please? I forgot to bring it with me. He says they're vain words, which means empty. And I'm going to step out for a little bit. I hope I don't mess up your camera, guys. Here's my humanity. I need a little water. Says one translation says vain words, which means empty. I want you to catch this, worthless, having no value. The enemy's lies and accusations that the word of God is full of words that are vain, they're empty, they're worthless, and they have no value, and they cannot help you. The enemy says that God's word can't help you. They're powerless against him. That's what he says. And so he's mocking Hezekiah, and he's mocking the word of God. And in the middle of that, the middle of Hezekiah declaring God's word to the people, that's what the enemy tells them. Let's continue in verse 14. He says, this is what the king says. I want you to catch this. This is hilarious. I wish Pastor Josh was here. It's hilarious. It says, this is what the king says. Don't let Pastor... It says Hezekiah, but don't let pastor deceive you. Those of you watching online, those here, God, he says, God, that says he, God will never be able to rescue you. This is verse 15. Don't let him fool you into trusting the Lord. I can't tell you how many young people say, hey, man, don't let them fool you. That's what I used to tell my brother. All my family was getting saved. My brother Mike, who's a pastor in L.A., Los Angeles, I used to tell, we had this pack thing going, hey, bro, don't listen to Tia Rosa and Mom and all them, El Primo David, man, tan locos, bro, they're crazy, dude. They don't know what's up, man. When they start coming to you with a Bible and all that, man, just blah, 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 blah. Don't listen to them. That's what we used to say. We're going to hold out no matter what. And then I come home one day, and to our house there in Laredo, and my brother Mike, who's younger than me, was sitting on the sidewalk there of the house, and I saw he had a little New Testament, which they used to leave around for us all the time, hoping that something would jump on us and change us or something. And I got there, and I said, "What's wrong?" And he looked up, and he was crying. He says, "I can't do this anymore, bro." And he had gone out to do a dope deal, and he had got shot, and he was bleeding from his leg. He says, "I'm done. I'm surrendered. I was the last one to come." I mean, I'm just stubborn that way. But we said, man, don't listen to him. Don't listen to the pastor. Don't listen to God's word. Don't let him fool you into trusting the Lord by saying the Lord will rescue us. Nobody's going to rescue us. No one's coming for us. No one has ever come. No one has ever offered help. Don't listen to that. He says the Lord will surely, don't let him fool you. Don't let him fool you into trusting the Lord. This city, your life will never fall into the hands of the Assyrian king. And he says in verse 16, don't listen to Hezekiah. Don't listen to Pastor Josh. What he's preaching, what he's trying to teach you. Don't listen to Brother Richard. He says so the enemy brings a proposal. He says, don't listen to them. He says, here's the terms that I bring to you. These are the terms the king of Assyria is offering. Make peace with me. The devil wants you to make peace with the world and the culture of the world and the kingdoms of the world. He says, make peace with me. Open the gates. Open yourself and come out of that and come to me. He says, then each of you can continue eating from your own grapevine and fig tree and drinking. He offers a substitute, but the devil is a liar. He says, then I will arrange to take you to another land like this one, a land of grain and new wine. He imitates promises, bread and vineyards. 18, he says again, don't let Hezekiah mislead you by saying the Lord will rescue us. Have the gods of any other nations ever saved their people from the king of Assyria? The enemy says, don't listen to your pastor. Don't listen to the word. Don't let them fool you into trusting the Lord. When he tells you that the Lord will surely rescue you, don't listen to him. Make peace with me, the devil says. I'll take it easy on you. Don't let pastor mislead you. What he's declaring are mere words. What he is telling you is vain. It's empty. It's worthless. It has no value. It can't help you through the bullying that you're going through. It can't help you through your business situation. It can't help you in that relationship. God's word, they're just mere words, and they've not been able to help you. So why do you continue to trust them? And what he wants to do is separate you from the only one and the only truth that can rescue you and save you. I want you to know that God's words can help you, and that God's word is more than mere words. To a believer, God's words are more than just mere words. I want you to know this morning, and remind you this morning, that the Bible has all authority. It's 66 books, 39 Old Testament books, 27 New Testament, written over 1,500 years by 39 different writers, but only one author. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. God's word is inerrant. It means it is without error. It is free of mistakes. God's word is infallible. It is not wrong on any subject. God's word is inspired. It comes from God himself through chosen people who wrote it. It is God-breathed. They're not just mere words. God's word is alive and it's powerful. And I want you to know the truth. And unless we have that foundation set, then we're always going to be up and down, in and out. Everything's going to be optional. I want you to know, church, I want you to know that church is not optional. God's word is not optional. Being in God's presence is not optional. We need it to sustain us, to keep us moving forward in every season of our lives, especially when we don't like it, especially when we think that we're okay, and especially when we think that I'll make it without, I'll do it this other way because so many other people are. The enemy came to test Jesus in the area of his identity, his loyalty, and his knowledge of the word. And Jesus knew, and we must know, that God's word is more than just mere words. His word is inerrant, it's infallible, and it's inspired. Yeah, I know I've already said that, but I want to say it again. God's word is true, and it's powerful. It's without error. It's not wrong on any subject. I don't care what they say about marriage. God's word has the truth about marriage. I don't care what they say about family. God's truth has the truth. God's word has the truth about family. I don't care what they say about my addictions and my challenges and my past. God's word has the truth about every area, every subject, and it is right in every area about every subject. I love all people. We're going to preach to all people. I'm not this party or that party. By the way, I'm going to get in trouble here. I'm a child of God. I need to be committed to Him and His word and His truth, but I can't allow people's opinions to outweigh God's word. How many of you all have opinions about stuff? How many of you all have opinions about me? I get it. I get it. That's okay. But listen, the last time I looked in my Bible, my opinion isn't in the Bible. Just His truth. So we've got to turn to His truth. It is inerrant. It is infallible. It is inspired. And we need to make sure that we remember that it's without error. And it is a powerful weapon that we use so we can have a proper concept of God, and a proper concept of marriage, a proper concept of our families, a proper concept of our businesses and our church. Amen? Amen. And so I'm going to go back to Isaiah 37 as I begin to land this airplane here. Verse 3 says, they told him, this is what King Hezekiah says. Then God's man says, today is a day of trouble, insults, and disgrace, because they just received the insults and the from the king of Assyria who came to challenge God's word. He said, it's like a day of trouble. It's like when a child is ready to be born, but the mother has no strength to deliver the baby. He says, we're in trouble. We know God's plan. We know God's future for us, but we don't have the strength. We don't have the faith to bring it to pass. And Hezekiah says, I say to you today, we're on the verge of breaking through. How many of you need a breakthrough this morning? How many of you need a breakthrough this morning? Watch out. How many of your children need a breakthrough? Your marriage, your business. How many? Maybe our churches need a breakthrough. He says, we're about to birth the new. If only we stand firm and receive His strength. If we trust His word, no matter what. So this is the Lord's response to that mocking spirit. In chapter 37, verse 6. So the prophet replied, say to your master, this is what the Lord says. Do not be disturbed. This is what the Lord says, 24/7 church. Do not be disturbed by the blasphemous speech from the king of the world, from the king of Assyria. Don't listen to him when he says that God's words are just mere words. The Lord says, listen to me. Listen to my word. He says, I myself will move against them. Isaiah 43:13 says, from eternity to eternity, I am God. No one can snatch anyone out of my hand. No one can undo what I have done. He says, I will do what I have declared. In Isaiah 40, verse 6 through 8 says, a voice said, shout. I asked, what should I shout? Shout that the people are like grass and their beauty fades as quickly as the flowers in the field. The grass withers and the flowers fade beneath the breath of the Lord. And so it is with people. The grass withers and the flower fade, but the word of our God stands forever. That's word. That's word. See, the word of God is more than mere words. It'll stand forever. So we must discover it. We must explore it. We must dig deep into it. And we must begin to use it. As I said, as I was recently thinking about as I close and reminding of what happened 35 years ago, I look back 35 years later when I was released from that place, and everything that God said He would do, He has done. Not because I figured something out, not because I became a theologian or attempted to be more pious or whatever. No, it's because God's grace and God's mercy sustained, and His word kept me even when I could not keep myself. This is a gospel message of grace and not works. And when we fail, we run to Him boldly because of the righteousness that we have in Christ Jesus, and He picks us up. But we can't ever quit. We can't ever give up on His word. We can't ever give up on His promises. We can't ever give up on His truth just because it's not working right now, just because people, and by the way, the mockers of God's word are not just out of the church. Some of them are in the church. And we're living in a time where people mock God's word. I know some of you are very, very, very aware of that. After spending those 30 days in the hospital in the place where I said I failed God and I failed my wife, I failed my children, the people that I love the most, I failed and disappointed the greatest. And I said, this is the end of my life. And the Lord said, no, this is not the end of your life, son. It's just the beginning of your life. If you'll trust me and if you'll get back in my word, and if you lay the foundations of faith again and begin to stand on them and walk. And the Lord gave me a word. And the word that He said to me that He whispered in my soul was, if you surrender to me, if you trust me, I have a plan and a purpose for your life. The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy my plan and purpose for your life, but I've come to give you life and purpose and destiny. His word, His spoken word to my heart got my attention. And I'm done preaching. I don't want to just preach to you. I want to minister to you. God's word is powerful. It's alive. It's for today. We need it. We got to have it. We got to immerse ourselves in it. We got to pray that God give us a hunger for his word again. And that God breaks the lies that the enemy has been feeding our children and our grandchildren. That he breaks the lies that church is optional. It's just all fooey stuff. Like I used to think, church is for women and wimps. I don't know how else to say it. It's just what I used to think back then in the 70s. Right before I ended up in the hospital in Houston, when I got home, I used to work for Central Power and Light. It's A&E now. I did marketing for a big electric company. Had everything I thought I wanted, needed. Great car. I just built a new house, a couple months old. Driving a company car. Had expense accounts. I thought I was all that. But all that just kept separating me more from God and his word and his truth. And I began a slippery slope of making God and church and his word an option. And came home from a business trip to an empty house. Sandra picked up my two children. I think Rick, who's the next pastor at our church now. Man. I'm sorry if I get emotional sometimes. This God breaks me sometimes still. I'm not over my salvation. I'm not over how his word changes me and continues to change me. I just can't get over him. If you can get over him, I don't know if you ever got him. All these years later, I'm still not over it, saying everything he's done. In me, with me, and through everything he's done for us. And I remember I got home and Sandra and the kids were gone. The furniture was gone. She was nice enough to leave me a bed where I could sleep on. And I went into the bathtub of my new house. I want you to hear this. Brand new house, 2 months old. Had everything that I thought I could want. Can I do this? I don't know if your camera guys, am I going to mess you up real bad? And I said, man, my life's over. I've done messed up now. So I went into our brand new home, got in the bathtub. But before I did, I went out and I bought some beer and I went and scored my drug of choice. And I said, I'm going to have one last high and I'm going to check it out. I went and I picked up my dope and I went and bought my liquor and got in the bathtub of this brand new house and had my handgun in front of me. And I was going to have one last party and I was getting ready to check out. I'm 24 years old, 25, however old I was back then. Now, I remember sitting there, and I couldn't get high, and I couldn't get drunk. I was done. I was empty. I was numb to life and the world and all the lies that I'd believed. And so I'm sitting there, and I can't get high. I can't get drunk, and I've got my handgun in my lap, and I'm starting to tell everybody goodbye. I say, Mom, I know you're not going to understand this, but please forgive me, but I just can't. I quit. Sandra, I know you're not going to understand this, but I quit. I'm just done. I just can't do this anymore. I can't fight. I'm just tired of fighting. I don't like myself. I hate myself. I'm angry at myself. You all are good, and I'm just bad. I'm just a bad person. Church is not for people like me that have been where I've been and done what I've done. I believe in God, but it's just not working for me. And I'm having these conversations and saying goodbye to the people that I loved and cared for, and I pick up that gun and get ready to take my life. And the Lord whispers to me, I want you to think about that. In the middle of that situation, he says, this is not my plan for you, Richard, and I love you. If you'll trust me, I have a purpose and a destiny for you. And it broke me. He said, God, how could you love me? Look at me. Look at what I think. Look at what I look at. Look at what I do. Look at how I treat. Look at how I live my life. Lord, I've turned my back on you. How could you possibly love me? And his word continues to declare that he loves us. He doesn't condone our sin, but he loves us in spite of our humanity. We are not subhuman in the midst of our failures. That's why we need a Savior. And that was a spoken word that gave me hope, that said, yes, I'll go to that program. And then it was in that program I got the written word, and the rest is history. Listen, my 8 grandchildren are proof that God can do what he said he was going to do. Come on, let's thank God this morning. for His Word. Let's thank God that His Word is alive and it's powerful. And I want to encourage us, listen, this morning, if you're struggling, come on, yeah, let's thank God. He is good. He is faithful. He can change our lives. He can restore our lives. He can lead us to those places we can't get ourselves to. Right there where you stand. There we are, closed. Or sit. Those of you watching online. If you're here today, you're struggling, you feel beat down, maybe life is overwhelming. Somebody here has suffered a setback in business. You thought you were headed in one direction, and then there's something that didn't go your way, and you're disappointed. Some of you have struggling with family and son or daughter, and all your prayers, it seems like, have not worked, and you've given lost hope. You believe God, you love in God, you just lost hope, and maybe you've suffered loss, maybe you've been persecuted or mocked by people, by the enemy. Some of you maybe feel like this is the end. I've tried Christianity, it just doesn't work for me. Maybe you failed someone that you love. I believe this is what the Lord would say to you, to us today. Listen to Him. Listen to His Word. And His Word to us today, if you allow His Spirit and His Word, will renew your mind, and it will heal you, it will restore you. He'll begin to strengthen you and give you a breakthrough. Read His Word, believe His Word, apply His Word, and get in His presence and let it soak, let it water the Word, let Him water the Word. Let God's Spirit water the Word that is in you. And I believe that the Lord would say to us, to you, those here, those watching online, His Word, not what you feel, not what you see, but His Word. He says, now I will stand up. Now I will show my power and my strength. I will be your mighty one. I will protect you so that the enemy can't get to you. I will come for you and I will save you. And I am coming to destroy your enemy, thus saith the Lord. Now, if that speaks to you, just put your hand up for me wherever you are. If that speaks to you. If you're online, say, man, just throw me a thumbs up or something. God, I receive that word. I need a breakthrough today. And maybe some of you are here and say, man, I've kind of, church has become optional. Reading God's word has become optional. I love God. I know, I believe in Him, but it's just, man, you just don't know where I'm at. You know what's going on. And I've not made God, church, the word a priority, but I want to do that today. If that's you, just put your hand up. All of us. I want Him to be a priority every moment of my life, every season of my life. I'm going to ask the ministry team to come forward if you'll help me this morning. I'm done preaching. Or whoever's going to lead that. But God's come to help you today. God's come to encourage us to get in His Word, to read it, to study it, to meditate on it. His Word is alive. It's powerful. It's infallible. It's inerrant. It will accomplish what He sent it to do if we will step into it. Father God, I pray for those, oh God, who have lifted their hands and said, I need you to rescue me today. I need you. I need a breakthrough in my life. Lord, I come against every scheme and every device, every lie that the enemy has set against your people, against your church, against your families, oh God, against your marriages, against our young people, oh God. I break every lie by the Spirit of God that has come, that is contrary to God's word, that has given us a wrong concept of God, that has given us a wrong concept of ourselves, where we've given up on ourselves. Some of you are harder on yourself than God is, and God wants to release His grace and His mercy to you. He wants you to not look down today, but to look up at Him, because your help comes from Him. He wants us to trust Him again in a new way. He wants you to fall in love with Him just like at first. So, Father God, I pray for breakthroughs in marriages. I pray for breakthroughs in families. I pray for that breakthrough in that business, oh God. We commit all things to you, and we commit your word to you. Now, God, water your word with the power of your Spirit and let it do a work in us, with us, and through us. in Jesus' name. If you need prayer right now for anything, for anyone, somebody's going to come, you're going to come help me, somebody's going to help me, we just come and let us pray with you, and then I guess someone will dismiss us. Thank you again for being with us. Charles, you got to come up and help me, brother. I'm done. God bless you. We love you guys.